Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're tuned to AM 580, where you can also listen online at WILL.UIUC.edu. It's time for our opening commodity market report with Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Friday morning, everyone. Let's check how prices fared in the resumption of trading. We gave the overnight estimates and contracts at 849. In Kansas City, July wheat opened at 479.5, up a quarter on the open September, 487.5, up a quarter. At the Board of Trade in Chicago, July wheat opened at 363, down 2.5 on the open September, 380, down 2.25. December, $4 even, down 1.75 on the open. July corn opened at 229.75, down 0.75 on the open September, 241.25, down 0.5. December, 256.5, down 0.5. March, 268.25, down 0.75. May, 277, down 1. July, 285, down 0.75 on the open. July oats opened at 197.25, down 1.75 on the open. July soybeans opened at 583, unchanged on the open. August, 589.5, unchanged. September, 595.5, up a half. November, 608, down 0.75. January, 618, down 1.5. March, 626.5, down 1.25. May, 632, down 3.5 on the open. July soybean meal open at 176.50, unchanged on the open. The August contract unchanged as well. It opened at 177.70. July soybean oil opened at 24.41, down 8 on the open. August, 24.65, down 4 at the Merck. August feeders open at 114.75, down 10 on the open. September at 114.30, down 27.5. October, 113.50, unchanged. June live cattle open at 82.70, up 7.5 on the open. August, 84.45, down 22.5. July lean hogs open at 74.40, down 47.5 on the open. August, 71.10, down 37.5. October, 61.75, down 27.5. December, 58.05, down 17.5 on the open.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at lincolnlandagrienergy.com.
Susan and Lou Hopkins of Urbana understand how important it is for us to reach our listeners' support goal, and they're concerned about how far away we are. So if you're not currently a friend of WILL and you become one now by making a dollar a day contribution, they'll add another $25 to their contribution. That's $25 for each new dollar a day friend. Become one by calling 217-244-9455. And thank you.
Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzalo of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Mike.
Dave, we've made it through another week.
We indeed did, a week where the feature was paying attention to the forecast that was released about every 4 hours and trying to trade that. And if not doing the weather forecast, then having some predictions about next Friday's acreage reports. But I want to step back away from that for just a moment and ask you some longer-term questions today. I want to pay attention first to this corn market and ask you whether you think that we are at the start or in the midst of a long-term corn rally that might have prices next year on average up over $3. And I look at world figures, for example, like the drop in the Argentina crop and increase in China demand and also the ethanol situation as all factors that made me believe this could happen.
It's very possible. I think there, you know, we have been looking at some charts, the longer-term charts, that would say you have more upside in the longer term than you have downside, Dave. I think that one thing that we realize when we trade and when we hedge in the commodity market, unlike the stocks and some of these funds that have joined us here in the last few years, realize now that commodities are not just about price, they're about price and time, and that's adjusted for something that you may be seeing right now. So the likelihood is there. I think our mindset is let's take it more in terms of a shorter-term picture, that there's some things lining up that would say in corn that if you're going to start going higher, it should be sooner rather than later. And I'm not even talking about the outside markets. If we left those alone for now and looked, you know, and stayed away from the dollar, stayed away from gold and what the funds may do on the Federal Reserve fund rate hike or no hike next week, if you look at the spreads on futures, if you look at option volatility, if you look at cash prices for both current cash and new crop cash versus last year, if you look at the demand on corn and you look at the oscillators, the ratings of overbought, oversold conditions, all five of those historically very good leading indicators, even before the funds came into the marketplace, you know, several years back, those are all saying right now there's more risk on being a short in corn right now as there is being a long going into this report next week.
New crop December to March futures spread in corn continuing to widen. Does that indicate a more bearish commercial outlook?
Well, it does, and that's something that we've talked to Chicago about at length the last 2 weeks. It's pretty interesting because on the Commitment of Traders report, who has sold the funds, all the corn, to get the funds so long? And it's been the commercials, and that's a pretty interesting thing. It's not so interesting when you are a commercial and you do that in February or March when supplies are high. But to be running so net long as a commercial going into the main production, you know, pollination phase of this current crop year and still be running quite short in the markets, it suggests that that's why your basis is so wide right now. And they're betting that the crop is going to be a good-sized crop again, and therefore they can deal with the very large net short position they have as commercials. But there's one hiccup there, is if something starts to give, if the market turns, for whatever reason, those shorts that they have on right now, because of the time of year that they're in them, they may have to work themselves out of some of those shorts, and it may provide more volatility in this market than we'd be used to seeing. I just don't understand, and this is what I talked to Chicago about this week, why the commercials are so net short given this time of year. I would have thought they would have trimmed some of their net short positions at this stage of the game and look to pick them up again this fall. So we'll have to watch and play that one out.
Very interesting. In the soybeans, I guess a couple more nails in the for the idea that the market might break under $6 in the NOVs at some time sooner rather than later. First, in the July options, which expired today, the largest strike around the $6, and then the numbers out of Stats Canada yesterday, which the trade largely ignored.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And the beans have been mostly a follower this week as well, and bean oil has followed the crude. Crude tried to generate a good rally but didn't do so well on that so far, and not given up on it completely. And, you know, the meal has tried to follow the corn and wheat a little bit more, we think. But, you know, our change in beans is we don't have a change right now. Our view is the same. We're going to do our paper hedging with known cost puts. I really am nervous about the potential for a wheat-led market rally here coming off of the harvest lows. And, you know, one of the things that we looked at during the report in wheat, and this goes back to the beans, if we have a wheat low in place and we're talking about with our clients the next 10 to 15 days having a corn market that can do some good for us, especially cash-led, where's that put beans? Well, probably wouldn't put them lower. They probably follow in sympathy. So we want to be respectful of the beans, and that's why I bring up the wheat complex right now. We've got a reduced carryover from the report in wheat. It doesn't look big. It only, you know, 31 million bushels is what they took us down on the June 9th report, Dave. But that's 7% versus last month, and that's a big number when you're carrying this low of stocks. And so if we plug that into our model, given what the world numbers changed on the same report, we'd say every million bushel reduction should equate to about 0.8 cents, or when it's all said and done, we're a little bit under 25 cents too cheap right now in the Chicago wheat complex because of our average price USDA has given us. So between that and the fact that no one really talked about spring wheat conditions this week being 15%, very poor to poor versus 4% last year, there's some premium that's been taken out of wheat, we think, and we think we're going to have to put that back in sooner rather than later.
Thanks much, Mike.
You have a great day, sir.
You too. Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities. He is in Lafayette, Indiana.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4400. 4606.
Taking a look at Ed Kieser's two-state forecast today. In northern and west central Illinois, partly to mostly sunny. Elsewhere, mostly cloudy with scattered showers and some isolated thunderstorms developing in the south. Highs from 70 to 87 degrees. Tonight, in northern and central Illinois and northwestern Indiana, clearing. Elsewhere, mostly cloudy with a few scattered showers early, then gradual clearing overnight, and lows ranging from 53 to 65 degrees. You're listening to WILL Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois. We are on the web at WILLEG.org. It's 10 o'clock Central Time.